tell me about Rose?" I said, for it suddenly came to me that I had asked very little about her. He talked about the trousseau and how much admired Rose is everywhere. Topaz is, too, of course, and my mother's a pretty good looker. When the three of them go out together, well, it's something. I said they needed me to bring the average down, and instantly wished that I hadn't. That kind of remark simply asks for a compliment. Simon laughed and told me not to fish. "You're far prettier than any girl who's so intelligent has a right to be." "As a matter of fact," he sounded faintly surprised, "you're very pretty indeed." I said, "I think I'm a bit better looking when Rose isn't around." He laughed again. "Well, you're certainly very pretty tonight." Then he raised his glass to me, as I once saw him raise it to Rose. I felt myself blushing and hastily changed the conversation. "Have you been doing any writing lately?" I asked. He said he had begun a critical essay on Father, but couldn't bring himself to finish it. There seems no way of not drawing attention to his inactivity. If only one could give the faintest hint that he had something in hand. For a moment, I thought of telling him of my hopes, but it would have meant describing Father's recent behavior, and the idea of putting into words things like his studying willow pattern plates made me realize how very peculiar they are. So I let Simon go on talking about his essay, which sounded very much over my head. He must be terribly clever. I was drinking the last of my wine when the gramophone began a most fascinating tune. I asked what it was called. "This? Lover, I believe," said Simon. "Do you want to dance once? Then I must take you home." He went to turn the gramophone up a little, then came back for me. I'd never danced with him before and was rather nervous. To my surprise, I had a feeling of ease and lightness. After the first few seconds, I stopped worrying about following his steps. My feet took care of it on their own. The Lover record was the last of the stack, so the gramophone stopped at the end. We were close enough for Simon to restart it without taking his arm from my waist. Then we danced the tune through again without saying one word. Indeed, we never spoke all the time we were dancing. When the gramophone stopped again, Simon said, "Thank you, Cassandra," still holding me in his arms and smiling down at me. I smiled back and said, "Thank you too. It was lovely." And then he bent his head and kissed me. I have tried and tried to remember what I felt. Surely I must have felt surprised, but no sense of it comes back to me. All I can recall is happiness. Happiness in my mind and in my heart and flowing through my whole body. The next thing I remember quite normally is the sound of Simon laughing. It was the kindest, most gentle laugh, but it startled me. "You astonishing child," he said. I asked what he meant. "Only that you kiss very nicely." Then he added teasingly, "You must have had quite a lot of practice." "I never kissed any man in my life before." Instantly I wished I hadn't said it, for I saw that once he knew I wasn't used to kissing, yet had returned his kiss, he might guess how much it had meant to me. I pulled away from him and ran to the door, only knowing that I wanted to hide my feelings. "Cassandra, stop!" He caught me by the arm just as I got the door open. "Oh, my dear, I'm so sorry. I ought to have known that you'd mind."